pray. O Lord, cause the lamp of your word to shine at our feet and its light to illuminate our path. Amen. When was the last time that you said no to yourself? Something was available to you, free for the taking, something that you wanted, and yet you said no. If you can think of such a time, what was your reason for saying no? Was it perhaps because the thing was sinful? Or was it perhaps because even though the thing itself was not sinful, there was something sinful connected with it? Or could it have been a decision you made because you knew that somebody else wanted that thing and you were willing to give it up for the other person? Today we're going to consider an expression that covers this. It's called self-denial. When Jesus had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The word deny is not an unusual word. We have it in our vocabulary. Do we have a definition for it? Or do we assume that we know what it means? The Greek word which is translated deny has this as its concept: to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with some object, action, or person. We think of Peter. Peter denied Christ. When he was first accused of being a follower of Christ, he said, "I don't know what you're talking about." With the second accusation, he took an oath and said, "I do not know the man." The third time, he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Out of fear, Peter disowned Christ, separated himself from Jesus. He claimed to have no acquaintance with him, no connection with him. That's denial. Have you ever done that? Have you ever denied a person? Denied a friend? It's a cowardly thing to do. It's something that a person does because he's more concerned about himself than about his friend. And so I have no connection with that person. I'm not acquainted with that person. This is done out of love of self, self-interest. However, in our text, Jesus says that his followers need to deny themselves. What is that? To affirm that you have no acquaintance or connection with yourself? As strange as it may seem, that's exactly what it means. Perhaps another definition would help. To forget oneself. To lose sight of oneself and of one's own interests. Who can remember Professor Gullerud's theme for the 2014 school year? I am third. Self-denial puts oneself in the number three position. Number one is Jesus. Number two is everybody else. And number three is me. So it places everyone else ahead of oneself. Self-denial. Now, a person who lives by such a principle will say, when given a choice between myself or Jesus, who am I? I am nothing. I'm nobody. As John the Baptist said of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." A person who lives by this principle says, when given a choice between myself and another human being, who am I? I am nothing. The other person is everything. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he was talking about the Jews, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." As if to say, if my own eternal condemnation would have resulted in salvation for my people, then I would be ready to do that. But of course, the condemnation of the Apostle Paul wouldn't help anybody else. Only one enduring of hell can save others, and that is that which was suffered by Jesus. He alone could and has paid the price for the redemption of Jew and Gentile. Now, although I pointed to John and Paul as examples, there is no example of self-denial like that of Jesus. And we could spend a lot of time here going through his entire life to show you that. From the time that he denied to himself the glories of heaven, to the time on the cross when he said, "It is finished," breathed his last, and died. From that time to that time, Jesus counted himself as nothing, so that he could give his all to save you and me. The Bible says, "Let this mind, this way of thinking, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Deny yourself. Deny self. Count self as nothing. Count Christ as everything, and your fellow students as more important than yourself. Now, how does self-denial manifest itself? Church history students are learning about men and women who distorted self-denial into self-exaltation. People who refused any and all of the pleasures of life, good or evil. Where Paul would focus his attention on Christ and on his fellow men, these ascetics, as they were called, focused attention on themselves. They displayed themselves as being more holy, more righteous than others. This is not self-denial. Self-denial places oneself in the shadow of others, in the shadow of Christ, in the shadow of your fellow man. Not in the light. It's not just a matter, of course, of denying things to oneself. It's a part of it. If Christ would have us say no to something because it is sinful, then we say no, no matter how much we may want it. If Christ may have us say no concerning something that is not sinful in itself, but to partake in it would result in leading somebody else to sin against his own conscience, then we say no, even though we have a perfect liberty to partake in that thing. In these instances, if satisfying our own needs or desires means depriving somebody else in some way or another, then instead of depriving them, we deprive ourselves. We have denied ourselves. So yes, denying things to oneself is part of it, if Christ asked us to do it, or if the welfare of our neighbor is involved. However, self-denial is more than about things. It's a state of mind. It's a way of thinking. A condition of the heart. It means, in our own mind and in our own heart, we are third. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us for our self-centered attitude, which displays itself so often, And help us to be like you, to put aside ourselves, our wants, our needs, in order to exalt you and to serve our fellow men. Grant this for your name's sake. Amen. Conclude with hymn 89, verse 3 and verse 5.